This week, we look at Viacom CBS's House of Brands strategy for CBS All Access. How much can it charge and what does it mean for everybody else? And why the move can't come soon enough, looking at the decline in linear TV viewing. Let's get started.
This week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me on the line. Hi there, Colin.
I'm here, Will, and doing well, and another busy week for us in this business. And I think today we're going to really focus on broadcasters, and we're going to start off actually with Viacom CBS, who had some interesting announcements over the last week or so. So why don't you clue us into what Viacom CBS are up to?
Yeah, well, I'll just give the highlight of from their earnings this week with respect to the streaming side of the business, which is what you and I are focused on. 16 million subscribers projected by the end of this year between CBS All Access and Showtime. Ended 2019 with 11 million subscribers. That was up 50% from end of 2018. Still projecting they'll get to 25 million by the end of 2022. So I would say all of those growth numbers look really good. They launched, I think it was back in like 2014 or 2015, CBS All Access, and I'll admit that I was a little bit of a skeptic when they first launched. I just didn't know how big that market was going to be for people looking to subscribe directly to CBS programming. But they've been, I think, very smart about their original strategy. They've put the Star Trek episodes in there, premieres in there. They've put some other stuff in there that's, I think, been well received. So I think all in, they've been very successful with this service. And looks like there's more success to come as they evolve their strategy to one that they've called the House of Brands strategy, which is to say that they envision adding on-demand episodes from Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, etc., into All Access in some way. Now, I think there's an open question, which you and I will talk about a little bit, what the potential pricing might look like for that new service or that service with all the new content, and then also what the pricing might look like in some kind of a bundled scenario with Showtime, with ads, without ads. And then also in the background here, can't be ignored, is Pluto TV. And Viacom acquired that last year, and they said that at the end of 2019, they had about 22.5 million monthly active users for Pluto, and that was up 75 million. Pluto is, of course, purely ad-supported, and Viacom CBS is looking at getting that to up to 30 million active users by the end of 2021. So you put it all together, and it's actually a pretty decent-sized footprint in streaming that Viacom CBS has all in. And we'll talk in a couple minutes about the latest numbers on linear viewing from Nielsen. But I would say that it seems like Viacom CBS has positioned itself pretty well to weather the storm. What do you think?
I think they absolutely have. To be honest, I think this is long overdue. When they launched CBS All Access, I said, that this looks like a great vehicle for them to expand its purview. And at the time, I thought they might go for the sort of skinny bundle approach, where they roll in a whole bunch of different channels. Well, we had to wait for them to do this House of Brands, but I tell you, I think it's a great move, Will. I mean, bringing all of the Viacom channels in here, The thing I am most excited about is the Pluto TV. And they're still going to run Pluto TV as a separate brand. They've made that very clear. But what they're going to do is they're going to use Pluto to power a free tier of CBS All Access Max, let's call it that for the purposes of our discussion today. And that, I think, is a really, really smart move. I don't think that the online providers are using free enough. I think it's a great way of expanding your purview, getting more advertising revenue, bringing more people into your service, proving to them that what a great service you have, and upselling them to one of the premium tiers. And I don't think doing so will hurt any of the, you know, the 11 million CBS All Access plus Showtime subscribers that they have today. And I think it can only help. It really gives you an opportunity to expose them to the content where you probably wouldn't have. And given the growth we've seen in AVOD, you know, there's 22.5 million MAUs, monthly active users, that Pluto TV has. Tubi says that they have 25 million. I have to also mention there that we don't know that we're comparing apples to apples there. But these are substantial numbers with more growth coming, as they say. I think the opportunity to add and profit from free in the CBS All Access Max pack that they're putting together, I think it's a great move. I love it. I just hope they're also got a half an eye over on Peacock and will alter things so that when it launches, it's actually playing video. But I think it's all to the goodwill.
Well, to talk about having a half an eye, it seems hard to talk about Viacom CBS's subscription plans without also talking about Warner Media's plans for HBO Max, because you and I were just noodling around a little bit with the numbers for how Viacom CBS might package. And, you know, we're saying, all right, if CBS All Access ad supported is $6 a month, and Showtime is $11 a month without ads, that means some combination of those two would be 17. But if they discounted that to, say, 15 to give a little bit of an offer versus two standalone rates, that'd be 15. But then if you were looking at purely ad-free, All Access right now is 12 a month. Showtime is 11. That brings you to 23 with no discount. Let's say they bring that down to 20 with a little bit of a discount for the bundle. My understanding is that HBO Max they've been talking about that now at a $15 price point. I think they were originally thinking it was going to be like a $17 to $18 a month price point, but then Disney Plus came in at $7 a month and Apple TV Plus came in at $5 a month, and that's before talking about all the different deals that are out there for those two services. But it sort of makes me feel like maybe there's a little more headroom for HBO Max here, depending upon what Viacom CBS does with its pricing.
Yeah, I think there is, Will. You know, I think you're right about the pricing. $20 for Showtime plus CBS All Access ad free. I think that's probably a good deal. One of the things that I'm wondering about is what happens to Noggin. So Noggin, of course, is Viacom's kids service. It's $5.99 a month. They say they have 2.5 million subscribers, and they already said that Nickelodeon is going to be part and parcel of this CBS All Access Max. I assume that they're going to roll Noggin into it as well. So maybe there's a kid tier. I don't know if you charge differently for that, but certainly there should be a kid's view of the service, right? So what do we think is going to happen with Noggin?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's another great question. And I'll throw another question into the mix, which is, what do we think the timing is of Disney raising the price on Disney Plus? Are we going to get through this entire year of 2020 without a price increase? Or might that come right before or after the holiday season of 2020? I don't know. But you have to believe that Viacom CBS would like to see that price increase come as soon as possible, again, to give themselves a little bit of headroom. Same for Warner Media. They want to see that price increase come as soon as possible also.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good question. I don't know. I think everybody knows that there's a price increase coming. If I were them, I'd probably toe the line. I'd hold the line for at least this year. Actually, I think one of the key metrics that Disney will be looking at will be what happens when people come off of their free subscriptions. That they got through, say, Verizon, which they partner with Verizon on giving a bunch of people Disney Plus free Disney Plus subscriptions. I guess we'll have to wait and see. They should see that. But more importantly, what happens after 2 or 3 months? Because they still don't have a really huge flow of content coming into the service, fresh content coming into the service yet. So they may well find that people, after 2 or 3 months, apart from the people that have kids that are watching all the kids movies, maybe there's a whole bunch of people that might consider jumping ship, and or the nudge that they need is a price increase. So I think they'll probably hold the line on the pricing where they are right now until the end of the year, and until they've got a real flow of new content coming into the service, something more akin to what Netflix is doing.
I agree with you on that. I think Disney's going to hold its price for the full year. Here's another question to throw in, which you sort of raised before, which is we're going to see the launch of Peacock here pretty soon. And they're also in the super aggressive pricing group, the $5 a month with 5 minutes of ads per hour, I think it is, right? Isn't that what they said, 5 minutes per hour of ads?
That's right.
So that's going to be yet another downward, another pressure to on pricing. So this whole year, this may be a lost year in a way for pricing for all these services. It may not be until early next year that we see the headroom come in.
That's right. I suppose the good news for all of these services as they realign and launch and change around is the fact that it looks like people are beginning to add more than one service. They're adding services without getting rid of other services. That showed up in the most recent Nielsen data, right? They were showing that a lot of people actually now have multiple services. So I think there's room at the prices that we're seeing, there's room for people to have multiple of these services and not get rid of anything yet. The problem is if Disney and everybody starts raising prices, then that could be a problem. One thing I will say is that actually, when I think about CBS All Access, this CBS All Access Max, it begins to feel a little bit like Hulu, yeah. Right? Because there is that live aspect to it. You do get the CBS channels. There is CBSN is also bundled in there. So there is some live content, linear live content. There's a large VOD library. There's really current shows. There are going to be tiers of service, so you can add a premium Showtime subscription. You can go ad-free. It really does begin to feel a lot like the Hulu model. Plus, of course, they're doing free, which Hulu's backed away from, but which I think was a mistake. So what do you think? I mean, it really does begin to feel like a Hulu model, doesn't it?
When you say Hulu, you mean Hulu SVOD or Hulu Live?
I mean, the whole Hulu approach with the Hulu Live and the ad tier and...
Yeah. I think it does and it doesn't. I think you make a good argument there for how it does. I guess the piece I'd say where it doesn't is that Hulu Live, just like YouTube TV, is, I think for a lot of homes, a bona fide substitute to the multi-channel bundle because you have most, if not all, of the sports that you need and all the broadcasts that you need, in addition to, of course, all the cable networks. Whereas CBS All Access Max, as you call it, is not going to have ESPN as an example. It's not going to have a regional sports network. So I don't think it's a apples to apples with a Hulu Live or a YouTube TV. But on the SVOD side, I do agree with you. I think it's a substitute there, and then it does have, of course, the CBS live feed.
So I'm thinking whatever way we go, whatever way they're going, I think the moves that we're seeing now by folks like Disney, CBS, you know, looking at the latest Nielsen data, Will, this has got to be the right thing to do, right? So you got some ratings data, right?
Yes, Colin. There was some new data out from UBS actually this week. It was based on Nielsen data, so we need to footnote that. But they're saying that the beginning of 2020 is off to a worse start than certainly Q4 19 and even Q1 19 a year ago. So that's a little bit of a mouthful. But anyway, UBS is saying that they think broadcast network delivery for person 2 plus using TV is going to be down 9.4%. Cable network delivery is going to be down 2.4%. And they see that as even actually being worse in the 25 to 34 category, where they see it coming down by 17% this quarter compared to a year ago. And it looks like the 55 plus, which I think you and I have talked about in the past, is trending down as well, it seems like the age group that's holding up best. So anyway, that's kind of a lot of words and a lot of numbers, but the net of it is that it seems like another reinforcement, as we all know, the macro trend, but a reinforcement of that usage of live TV is declining. And really the only reason why the business kind of continues to hold up is because ad pricing continues to nudge up just a little bit, at least according to UBS. They're talking about a 0.6% increase in U.S. Ad revenue in Q1 with implied pricing increase of almost 18%. That we know is almost entirely a supply and demand thing that's going on. In other words, less supply, constant demand moves up the price, but it's ultimately sort of getting painted into a corner scenario. But in any event, just tying it back to our CBS, our Viacom CBS discussion that we were just having, it really, I think, illustrates why the CBS strategy is so essential and arguably has been very successful. They have really created a bona fide direct-to-consumer channel for their programming. Even as the live ratings continue to decline, they're taking better control of their business and exercising more control over how they want to price their product, and now creating some options for themselves around packaging across different networks and with different business models, as we were saying, ad-free, ad-supported, hybrid. So, you know, just more of kind of what we already know, but worth noting anyway.
Yeah. So I tell you, we got really, really good visibility, I think, on the age groupings, what's going on in the age groupings in the most recent total audience report. Now, I know this is the previous quarter. It's actually focused on Q3 2019, not Q4. But the numbers look very, very similar. So this is obviously something that was affecting viewing throughout 2018, to late 2018 and 2019. They show that live plus time shifted viewing declined about 7% overall for adults 18 plus between Q3 2018 and 2019. I've once again focused on the 18 to 34 year olds, 15% down. But I've got to tell you, Will, it was down for everybody. Even the 65 pluses were watching 3% less TV. The interesting thing there, though, is that they give us really good focus. And I should say also penetration. The reach of television, traditional television, declined 2% from 86% down to 84%. So there's 2% of the population who just stopped watching live plus time shifted TV in that period. And I would say it seems to be focused on the younger folks as well. But the interesting thing there is we can really see where they're popping up, where they're moving their viewing to, because the truth is that they don't stop viewing, they just shift it. And pretty much everybody's shifting it to connected TV. We talked about this in the past, how important connected TV has been. 18 for users of connected TVs. That generally it was 12% increase in viewing to about an hour and 20 minutes a day. And, you know, I would tell you, Will, there's substantial viewing now in every age group, even in people 50 and over. They're watching an hour and 13 minutes a day on average as well. So, you know, the viewing is clearly shifting now. Everybody, every age group is spending a significant amount of time with connected TV on a weekly basis. And so, you know, this move by people like CBS and NBC and Disney, I think it's very, very timely and maybe just in time.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I just make a shameless plug here quickly that on June 11th, we're going to do our Connected TV Advertising Summit in New York. This is our 10th year Video News running this conference. But we always had a session on CTV advertising, but this year the entire conference is going to focus on CTV advertising. And I did it because as we were going through 2019, it was becoming more and more apparent that CTV, again, all the research was saying CTV is accounting for over 50% of video premium video ad views. 3/4 of homes in the U.S. with at least one CTV, many of them now with multiple CTVs, certainly like yours and my households. And I think I hate to sound hyperbolic, but I'm really starting to become a believer, as you just intimated a little bit, that like CTVs are going to be the savior of the entire TV industry at some point. I mean, this is the way TV is going to be consumed for the most part via CTVs. And if you want to be successful in the future, you're going to have a product that runs well on CTVs, where you're able to monetize with both subscriptions and advertising, and you have to optimize for CTV advertising with data and programmatic and everything else. I just think, you know, 5 years from now, we're going to look back and say it was the sort of 19-20-21 period where the entire world, just like whatever, 20-25 years ago, the entire world shifted to being online and digital became absolutely critical for publishers. I feel like we're sort of in that couple year window right now with respect to TV providers embracing CTV.
Yeah, and that's, Will, why I'm so excited about Pluto TV, a free tier driven by Pluto TV being included with CBS All Access, because, you know, Pluto TV comes with a targeted ad platform that can basically hit a user up no matter what Pluto TV channel they're watching. They can know that they're watching that channel and target them with an ad. So it really takes it away from being thematic and based around the genre and the specific content they're watching, and focuses them on the user. So hopefully they'll use that technology throughout the CBS All Access Max, or whatever it is they choose to call it, platform.
Yeah, and of course you can't have this conversation without mentioning Roku, which has really been the pioneer of doing exactly what you just described. And now everybody and his brother wants to do exactly what Roku has succeeded at doing over the past couple of years. But anyway, I think that might be about all we have time for this week. I like this conversation. I like what CBS, what Viacom CBS is doing, and I always think it's worth at least touching base periodically on what the macro trend is on TV usage, because it's so important to everybody.
Absolutely, Will.
All right, Colin. Well, good chatting. And thanks, everyone, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News and Screen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.